Yeah, I really genuinely and probably I never really thought about it until probably a couple years ago that dogs don't have sex exclusively in the butt.
What?
Yeah.
Why would you think that dogs had sex
because
in the butt?
You can't see the girl's other parts, really.
Okay.
Because they're underneath. Right? Isn't
is I don't is know it, where is it, is I, it, I don't know.
But is a
I
dog,
still don't know.
Is a dog pussy on the stomach?
I'm convinced. Like, they say that ducks have sex, like, where they put ass to ass and then some kind of weird corkscrew thing flies out.
No.
But that's sometimes. I've heard that dogs, like, sometimes when they have sex, they, like, put their dick and their balls by accident into the vagina, and then they get stuck. So you'll see dogs that are standing ass to ass, and their dick and balls are inside of another animal. They're trying desperately, tugging to get away.
We could we could look any of this up.
But
animal sex,
it's better to just speak with authority on things you don't know about. Right. I much prefer to do that.
Also, a dangerous, slippery slope. Yeah.
Indeed.
Did you ever remember when like everyone was showing like Meat Spin and Lemon Party and all those going around? There was, I used to set it at the high school my high school library. Oh. I used to set the homepage of all of the computers and then sit with a book, and watch as one by one all these computers, all these people got
that
Meat Spin. But there was one,
hilarious.
There was one where a horse was fucking another horse and it pulled out and it was just 10 gallons of horse jizz.
And wait, that
was a video that was shown to
evil.
Me.
Oh, you didn't put that one on.
Oh, no, I don't. I wasn't.
Wait a
meat
minute.
Spin guy.
Is that what they use those hats for on the ranch? Horse jizz collection?
What are you talking about?
A 10-gallon hat.
A 10-gallon hat.
Oh, God.
Come
horse,
on.
Every horse.
Everyone listening got it.
Every horse comes exactly 10 gallons
of cum.
Welcome to Reasonable Beef, everybody. Today we're talking about children's film monster trucks. We're joined by Ryan Blewett.
Hello, that's me.
Tell us why we should give a shit.
I guess I don't have a good reason.
Yeah, that's really tough.
What's something you're working on?
I'm a filmmaker, and I make a lot of films. I got a lot of stuff coming out. Uh-huh. I got web series and YouTube sketches, and I got a feature film called Relativity coming out later this year.
Very cool.
So I'd say if that people wanted to check out a filmmaker who's doing it, who's got an output,
well, let's see this guy
I'm
is.
The guy.
Hillary Great. Duff oh, is in Relativity.
Is she really?
No.
I've been known for a funny tweet or two. Like every month, I get 2.5 good tweets.
Okay.
I like your. It's October, so that means it's okay to fuck a pumpkin.
Yeah, that one did very well.
That one did very well. That was a big success.
Well, recently I tweeted grapes can get fucked, and that did very well.
Wow,
too.
So you found your formula then?
Yeah,
it's like vegetable or fruit.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Fuck.
Right.
Twitter.
Now I gotta change what I'm doing. I gotta stop.
Fuck the film stuff, dude.
Yeah.
You got it. You got the tweet game.
Right.
Holy shit.
All right.
Now we just went off on a fruit
monster
thing.
Trucks.
So, yeah, he's a filmmaker named Ryan Blewett, who's my guest, and I'm also joined by Dom Farah.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
It's my usual guy.
That's me.
We saw monster trucks.
Usual guy. That
trucks.
Is exactly what I am.
My
usual boy.
Oh, that sounds. What are you doing?
Just booking a flight.
what are you doing over there, Tim?
I'm trying to pull up some information for Monster Truck so it can seem like I know a lot more about the cast.
Sure, sure.
And like the trivia.
Here's the thing. Your
do.
Microphone's right next to the keyboard and your mouse. So clicking and typing is not going unnoticed.
Oh, I'm totally sure. That's what's happening.
All right. Look at that, dude, and that Amblin poster.
Yeah.
That friggin' Drew Struzan.
Oh, wow. Okay, so so we saw Monster Trucks.
Nickelodeon
Trucks. Films. This I actually remembered. And Paramount.
And Paramount.
Paramount always does Nickelodeon.
Right. Well, they're owned by... What's the... Viacom is the company at the top there.
Doesn't Viacom also have Cartoon Network?
Viacom...
No, Cartoon Network's Warner Brothers.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Time Warner.
Which is Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers.
Oh, wait, no, Warner. Fuck. I mean, what's Ted Turner's channel? Who owns TBS?
Warner
that's,
Brothers.
That's what
Warner
it
Brothers.
Really?
Time
yeah,
Warner.
Yeah, TBS
Brothers.
Stuff's on the WB.
So why? Yo, okay, so five companies own everything, right? That's,
yes,
that's
yeah, yeah.
The way this works.
Maybe
okay.
Even less, because there's maybe one parent company at the top. I don't know.
Probably.
Okay, so
so
it's Nickelodeon and Paramount. And I mean, we don't need to go into Paramount, but I was saying before we saw the movie that Paramount's got a pretty bad track record.
Yeah, recently. Well, what's some stuff they've been putting out that's been trash?
They ran Terminator into the ground.
Okay. Mm.
They're working on running Star Trek into the ground.
Okay.
Doing their damnedest. Wait, is
Paramount Star Trek? Star Trek does?
Paramount Star Trek.
Yeah.
There's so much I don't know.
Right. But see, now, are they? Do they distribute? Is that? Are they the studio?
They're the studio for Star Trek. But like 10 Cloverfield was Paramount, but that was a Bad Robot production.
Right.
So,
Paramount distributed.
Paramount did distribute it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then what the fuck did Nickelodeon do in this whole thing?
They probably made it.
They just like slimed the casting crew. they're trying to work, like hitting them with a big.
But the. Well, there was a SpongeBob. They were watching the that's security true. Guard was watching SpongeBob in the movie.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's called synergy. So
we'll get. I like that every extra in this movie looks like someone they just pulled from The Office. Like all the cops just look like there's no way that guy is a cop.
Right.
Yeah. Where do we begin?
Let's start. Okay. So 2017 is this? No, it came out December of 2016.
Did it?
No. Yeah.
No. It was January 13th. Oh, okay. 2017.
Yeah. I was like, that can't be.
Damn,
right.
That came out. So we saw this a week. It came out a week ago. We saw it by Chris Wedge.
Mm-hmm. Chris Wedge.
The Ice Age.
Which one?
The first one.
Interesting. Okay.
And also Robots with Ewan McGregor.
Whoa! that movie and Shark Tale, I think, are kindred, you know, like those
they absolutely
movies.
Are. Yeah. Like the middle of the road for nobody animated movie.
2006 animated
movie. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Robin Williams was in that, I think. Like that
was.
Yeah. He was
maybe his last animated role? As that robot? Like, because I don't think he did voiceover work, like, in his latter career.
I don't think
so
either. I can't think of anything after that.
We'll have to double check that. But yeah, so it stars Lucas Till, a.k.a. MacGyver.
Right? He is MacGyver, right. I was trying to put my finger...
A.k.a. Havoc.
Yeah, and he's Havoc.
New X-Men.
He's Havoc. That, I couldn't place him.
He's also terrible, so...
Yeah. I was going to say he...
Doesn't really matter.
For, like, that kind of...
Sorry if you're listening, Lucas.
Look, here's the thing. I will say this for Lucas Till. Okay. So this whole movie, Lucas, I'm sorry, you're just not very great in this movie. But here's the thing. It was probably a huge challenge to act to nothing, to absolutely nothing at all.
Right.
Like half of this movie is this main character looking at his monster and going,
CG,
oh, hey, buddy.
Like that's
Think about how many times that has been done remotely successfully.
Right.
That's
true. So it's like, that's
but this
not really
movie
excuse.
Was on a shoestring budget.
Even
of $120 million.
Yeah, but where's that money going to? That's the executive taking
for
a
sure.
But that's executive taking a huge check. That's a director taking a huge check.
But
that's a lot of
that's
money.
That's drug
for
money being laundered through. That's
was
exactly
it a big
what it
spec
is.
Or what? It was you said it was developed in.
I'm pretty sure it was developed in house. Like I'm pretty sure there's an urban legend around this movie now that it was like some executive's 4-year-old son had this idea and they developed it.
Right.
Obviously, movies, you know, they wouldn't just make a movie
off
of an idea, but that was the start of the development for this.
Yeah, there's another urban legend about this movie that if you say Creech three times and then turn around in a circle with the lights off, he comes and
you get wet.
Yeah, you get splashed.
You get all splashed.
So, but I do want to say, but we're talking about Lucas Till.
Lucas
if I could bring
Till,
it back
yeah,
to
yeah,
Lucas
sure,
Till,
sure.
Okay.
is that there is a certain like playbook to be the young teen, you know, action hero or whatever. And he lacks 100% of the qualifications for it. He's completely uncharismatic. Like, he's not fun to watch. He's not trying.
He also looks significantly older. There's a great scene at the beginning of the movie where he's on the bus going to school.
Right.
He is easily 2 feet taller than all of the children.
The joke of that, though, was supposed to be that he's older and doesn't have a car, so he has to keep taking the bus, even though he's like with the freshmen.
No, I'm terrible.
But all that happens is you're like, why is this teacher riding on the bus with us?
But there was a few very, and maybe we'll get there, but I felt like that was the first of a lot of like very tone deaf, like jokes and moments where things happened and it tonally didn't feel at all like
absolutely.
It made
this
sense.
Movie had like a bunch of solid jokes ruined by bad editing or timing.
Let me talk about
or a musical sting. It's it's poor.
Mike Crunch. What's his Mike Wedge?
Mike
sure.
Wedge.
Yeah.
Chris Wedge.
Chris Wedge.
Wedge. The Mike Crunch. Oh, by the way, I just want to say Lucas Till sounds like an outlaw's name. That sounds like someone you would hunt down in Arizona.
One of them Till brothers.
That's Westworld season 2. Well, Till brothers.
Till.
Aaron's got a monster truck.
Tell me about Mr. Wedge sound.
So Mr. Wedge, I. It's rare for me. I think very screenwritery most of the time, right?
Sure, me, yeah.
So I also, and we were talking about this recently, me and you, about confusing the writing and the directing and having a hard time separating those, especially when it's the same person, right? And this is one of those time, one of those few moments where I noticed bad direction. And I don't usually notice when something was directed poorly. I usually just go straight to like the story was bad, the writing was bad, blah, blah, blah. But this was like directed poorly. You could imagine every line, literally every line in this movie. Mm-hmm. Now there's some plot stuff we'll get to that was silly and I can't really excuse.
Right.
But like a lot of the scenes, when you think about it on the page, were probably charming to read.
Sure.
And this goes to Lucas Till as well. This goes to the casting of him. And like that would have, why was that not fun to watch him like scramble around the junkyard with the monster? Like, you're just kind of like, sure.
Right.
Sure. And it's directed weird. So it doesn't help that it's also directed weird and he's stiff and like.
Well, think about this.
It isn't directed like it's a $120 million movie.
No.
There's just no real nuance to it. I mean, it is a kid's, it's a PG movie.
No, and I tried to give it that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't, there are so many things that it shouldn't be excused
like
for.
There's still $120 million being spent here. Right. Like, it should look like that.
And I don't know. I will say, just to start it here, even though I already started.
Yeah.
I definitely was pleasantly surprised a lot of the time.
Yeah, me too. I just want to say ahead of time, this is not a...
we're not going to bash this the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, like, so this is... Okay, I'm just going to stop harping on this. Budget $125 million, and it made about 30. I think
it's well, so far.
Like, so far, it's made $30 million. So it's looking to be a bomb. This is not that ratio, it's not that bad.
Right.
It is not it shouldn't be as big of a bomb as it is. It's just for, like, not.
This would be a great contender for, whatchamacallit, for Defenders of the Rotten, so to speak.
Yeah,
like, it's not like I would not make the argument that it's like.
It's not good.
A good. Sure. Yeah. But it doesn't deserve to be, thrashed.
You know what it got me thinking a lot about was that. This movie, while the acting was bad and the directing was bad and there are a lot of weird plot and story things, is that it got me thinking a lot about how I think movies have a certain spirit or a soul to them, as like highfalutin or stupid as that sounds.
Right.
But like there's something very charming about this movie that like is, whereas opposed to another bad movie that I thought was bad was Suicide Squad, right?
Sure.
Where a movie like that has like a really kind of rotten soul and there's nothing fun about that movie in addition to bad things.
Right.
Or a Michael Bay movie maybe
say
is
intention.
Good.
Intention might be another word you're looking for.
Sure.
Yeah, right, which we always
where in that I think is like, you know, La La Land I think is a movie where you don't need to like certain aspects of that movie, but there's an intention to it that you can't look away from.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
As we were
it's definitely got its good points. Jane Levy, who I'm not sure
the
I'm
girl,
not
I don't
familiar
remember the girl's name
I'm
in
not
the movie.
Familiar with the actress. She was just delightful, like most of
the
movie.
Yeah, most of
just
the time.
Every time she delivered a line, it was good. It was the editing around it was
sure.
Poor.
Yes, and I was always like, it was like an oasis when she would get to talk a lot more.
That was the girl in Don't Breathe. That's the holy shit!
I haven't seen Don't Breathe.
No, she's
so
good.
Yeah,
she's
I've been wanting to. That's amazing.
I like her.
Unfortunately, she was
underutilized.
Acting to a, what's it called? A romp stomp in Mario. What are those things? A romp tomper? A cromp dromper.
A Koopa?
What the fuck?
The stoop dromper.
The stoop dromper?
The romp.
A Goomba?
No. Lackey 2? Hammer Brothers?
The
flomp?
The thwomp.
Warrior.
A flomp. Yes.
That was not even close.
I was in the omp area.
It wasn't even the first 10 things that we said.
I was close, god damn it.
In the omp area.
But yeah.
She was good.
She was good. And I was very, like, that was again one of those things where you're, and I, maybe she just had the benefit of certain lines of dialogue were sort of subverting my expectations for like what her character was going to be or what she's going to say. Like even the one where she's like, you know, there's no one like you and then she follows up with at our school or in our town.
Yeah.
When she first says there's no one like you, you're like, fuck it. Who cares about this guy? He doesn't, he's not fun. And then you're like, okay, well maybe I'll buy into it then a little bit that he's like weird for North Dakota.
Yeah, they limit the scope.
Right.
So, but anyway, I don't know. But generally speaking, I didn't really like,
The cast.
There was a lot, and even just character-wise, like, the way they sort of treat everyone in this movie it's very old. There are very old ideas of, like, the girlfriend character or whatever, the dopey kind of heavy lackey friend
who shows up once, you know?
Who shows up one time. The like old man who he works for,
but I also think that that's like the bit where he wants to be that like lackey character to the main guy, And the main guy's just like, get the one fucking
movie. Yeah, but they don't ever, when did you laugh at that? When did you ever,
but the
really
movie doesn't lean into those jokes at all. It doesn't serve it up as satire. Maybe there, maybe someone, maybe Chris Wedge was like, oh, haha, that was, this is funny. But it doesn't lean into it. It just does it.
It just does it. It just does it, and then it feels old. This movie feels a little, and I, now, for what it's worth, if I saw this at a, maybe 11, I would say.
Oh, fine.
11 or 12. But you're, I would have loved this shit.
How would you feel if I told you that this was written by the same guy that wrote Jurassic World?
That makes complete sense to me, because Jurassic World
is written by this guy named Derek Connolly, co-wrote Jurassic World with Colin Trevorrow.
But this is another one of those...
And he's writing Episode 9, I think, as well.
With?
Yeah,
because he's got screenwriting credits. I think he works with Trevorrow. I think he's Trevorrow's guy.
Did he say he's not guaranteed?
I don't know. Let's take a look. Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay. So they're boys. They're NYU boys.
Yeah. So that's like likely his guy, and this is like his branch do his own thing.
Project. Fine, right? Though, but like even Jurassic World, that's one of those things where you can see the moment. And then this, I was surprised for probably the first 20 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like Lucas Till, I was like,
it was fun.
It's
kind
of smart, and like the reasons they were giving, like I bought all of the faux science. And the reasons of like
they almost
like not even the science, you know, maybe I misspoke. It wasn't the science. What I'm remembering is the pieces of the puzzle of like, okay, he's got the dad who's out of town and we never sees. The dad works at the place. The reason the creatures are even where the people are drilling is because they consume oil. So of course the bad guys are the oil company. And do you know, I could see all the reverse engineering of when you start with monster in the truck. How do we work?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can see.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, you can see where they branched out.
And like, it was kind of, it wasn't stupid. Right. I don't think those are even bad ideas.
The moment that had it for me was when the main character, Lucas Till, whatever, he like falls down the hole in the truck at the very end and like all of the little manatee squid or whatever has come up. And I'm like, monster trucks. Like, I'm remembering what the plot of the movie is and like what the pitch of the movie was. And I'm like, they got here somehow.
Right.
That's incredible.
Also, why is it plural?
Because they're at the end of the movie, there are monster trucks.
But you know what? Think about this. Monster Truck is a movie you don't want to see. Monster Trucks is a movie you do want to see because you're automatically...
It's a good deal.
As a trigger word, you're just thinking, trucks.
I disagree.
Imagine going to see Transformer. You know,
just an hour and a half of
imagine
just like
seeing Star Wars. You know, like you want the expectation.
I don't want just one war.
Yeah. It's
I Heart Huckabee. Just one of them.
I will say though that while some of that stuff, and I think that there's places they went a little overboard with the science and the logic and whatever, is that this movie has almost no like narrative logic, right? Like there's almost nothing carrying scene to scene. Okay. Think about like the fact that you know there's the parents, right? It's a family thing.
Yes.
That falls completely flat
because
in the beginning of the movie there it's automatically for some reason we caught two. They're off screen, we caught two. We need to find one more.
Right.
That's not nearly as interesting as there's one on the loose. There's one on the loose.
Right.
We catch the one. Oh, fuck. There's two more. Using it as a reveal in a logical, progressive, narrative building way. And so this movie is like a very top down thing. Think about the scene where Creech kind of reveals itself to Lucas.
Creech. Can I say that? Okay. The animal's name is Creech.
Yeah.
Like the monster truck's name is Creech. The most low effort fucking.
This is a moment to maybe also mention, because this is probably one where most people who are listening are not going to actually see it. So this one, I feel like we should do our best to step through the plot
right. You know okay. I mean? So it opens with Lucas Till and his mom. He's in North Dakota. He lives in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't have a car.
North Dakota, by the way, is a perfect state to forget.
Yeah.
Right. If you only watch movies and live on the coast.
It's actually interesting. It's
because they never set stuff there.
Well, it's timely because right now there's a big oil boom in North Dakota that has ruined multiple towns. Sure. Like, and it's like a big thing where it's just these big companies come in and just completely turn these small towns.
I'm pretty sure that this is a movie that was shot years ago.
2013.
So it was in turmoil for a long time. Yeah. So I don't know how relevant they were trying to be, but
I'm glad that
at the time it was more relevant because that's when they first started drilling everything.
I'm glad they beefed up the. I'm sure they had time to work on the CGI because honestly, Creech like looked great most of the movie.
When people interacted with it,
I was
like,
kind of surprised.
What the fuck?
There was a few bad moments.
Of course, yeah.
But I also thought the character design, I was like kind of on board for it.
Oh, he's
like,
so cute. Because
it was terrifying, but cute, and like the tentacle thing. Yeah, there is it becomes like phosphorescent in the water. So those were interesting things.
Here's the genius of creature design like that, where you want it to be your main character. You make him big, you make him opposing. You make him a little scary, but he's on your side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that makes him
another thing of like, how do we get him in the fucking truck? You know, because when they're sitting down, when McMullen, what's his name? The screenwriter, Kevin McNally. Joseph Rag Rippin.
Derek Connolly.
That's the guy.
Derek Connolly.
When he sits down, he's trying to think, okay, I need to get the monster into the truck.
Yeah.
So he's reverse engineering every bit of this, right? Dude, that's that's
I
how
love
it
him
happens.
Sitting down at his desk, just like how got a glass of bourbon.
How do I get
the monster in the truck?
He has that on a sticky note right above his desk.
Get the monster in the truck. Oh, he's taking a big fucking drag.
But let's go back to the plot so we can talk a little bit more about that.
Right. Ipso facto, monster trucks.
Yeah.
Okay. So the monsters end up in the trucks.
So so we start with Lucas, and then we go to a drilling site, like a local drilling site, where there's an issue.
They reach this water, and in the water live these creatures that feed on oil. They're like amphibians, and they've never seen them before. And they're intelligent, but not like super intelligent. Just think of like a dolphin, like three dolphins taped to each other.
That's how smart this is. Sometimes where he was like, there's a part where he's first putting the truck together, and he says like he's smart, like he figures stuff out really quickly. Yet still, like,
they didn't show that at any.
Most of the ways that he gets the truck to run are by like tricking it like an animal.
Yeah,
like if it sees where it's going, it moves forward. It's like that's not a smart animal that does that.
You're enslaving that thing.
But that's what I'm talking about is like narrative logic. Is there's a lot of just like things we need to buy because it's a movie, as opposed to things that the movie tells. Like there's a scene where he meets Creech, when Creech like reveals himself to him. He's in where he's working on his little truck, his dream car truck in the garage,
which we never get much. This truck matters to him. Blah blah. We don't have a reason
other than that.
We kind of do because he says like, I just anything with four wheels. I just want to get out of this town, and
he couldn't afford a car. And that's fine, but that's not a fucking reason.
That's not his like try. That's not the truck he's been trying to work on for 5 years.
The truck his dad left him.
Right.
But
he acts like it's an important thing.
So a lot, but there's a lot of that. So he's in the truck. He hears a sound. He goes outside. Right. There's a thing, and it's coming after him. So he runs back.
Right.
Away from the thing. Fine. And then for no reason, he
goes inside the thing.
And it wasn't like it shows the doors rattling or the thing's about to come in. He just freelance goes into the into this little thing where also an oil barrel came.
Right.
The thing comes in and it starts sliding down, but he can't get out. Like, there's no reason for anything to happen. Things happen and we just...
But the monster, at that point, he was trying... The thing was that he spilled the oil and the monster... was following the oil and then smelled that it was in there, so that was why he was trying to come in. Right? Yeah,
but
we don't know that. Like, you're just.
But there's no logic to like now. So he goes in for no reason. He's coming out, but there's no real reason he can't get out. And we establish that like the creature can go through these little cracks and stuff. But like, but later that scene, he's about to crush the thing on the little flatbed, whatever.
The car crusher.
And for some reason, the creature isn't moving. Like, we assume that it's full. Like, there's just so much we need to buy that, like, I don't know.
It's not moving because it's hungry. And then immediately.
He just ate a whole big barrel of oil. And
then
the thing breaks, and then the crusher starts to come down.
Unless
then Creech all of a sudden can't get off the...
And every other time that the thing eats, it gets hyper and ready to roll.
Now here's the thing. That's when he eats gasoline, which they establish.
But they fuel him up with oil, and it's time to eat so that you can like...
Yeah, so here's... some of the rules are a little fuzzy.
Sure, as soon as you think too hard about that shit.
But when he sees the thing, like so he's scared of it, he runs outside. We establish that the creature's not going to hurt him, I guess.
Right.
He's immediately on board with the fact that there is this fucking huge thing that we should be terrified of, and he just rolls with it and befriends it immediately.
Yeah, it's not like he saw him doing something nice and be like, oh, maybe this creature's not too bad. He just didn't attack.
No. It should have saved him or something. He should have
saved him.
Right. As opposed to it save him by accident.
Absolutely.
And we get a little bit of this a little bit later when his love interest, Don't Breathe Girl, sees it.
Right.
She screams. She freaks out.
Right.
But then has an on the dime turn to just being, again, okay.
Fine.
With the huge thing.
With this giant monster.
There's no deliberation of what the fuck is this thing?
Yeah. And also bothered me, like, I don't know, man. I mean, like, I understand, like, all the monsters, nice, but I guess that sums it up. It's like, we needed the monster to be the one who saved him.
And that kind of stuff could have been saved with just one moment or one thing or one change of what they did.
But also, you gotta think, like, maybe he did shoot it, and then the studio's just like, yeah, we don't need this.
There was definitely some cut stuff happening.
You could definitely tell. I don't know, character-wise, some of the ways people react to stuff, it's just like, what? Why? I didn't see you grow in this way at any point up to now. Why are you acting this way? And it's just like, that seems
well. There were scenes that just felt like it cut into something. Like they towards the end, right? So Creech runs away. Yeah, he runs away, right? Mm-hmm. When he goes to the big oil company that's hunting Creech down, and they take a taxi. Lucas and Don't Breathe take a taxi to the thing,
Levy.
And they're like, oh wait, we shouldn't go in. And then Lucas goes, drop us off at the corner to the taxi driver. And then it cuts to them.
And they're just in
the truck yard of the oil company. And then they walk right into the oil company. Like, there's just a bunch of pieces missing. Like, it doesn't make sense.
But that's what was... They reached the oil company. Oh, I'm sorry, please.
Yeah. Right, no, it's just that, again, these are the moments that annoyed me because it wasn't stupid other times.
Right.
There were other times where it gave me reasons I totally fucking bought.
Yeah.
And how do we get the monster in the truck? He's not used to being out of water, so he's too heavy and he can't really move around well. So when he hides in the truck and realizes that he can move on the wheels, even before he gets in the truck, he's on the bed of the thing that has wheels, and he's pulling himself that way. And you're seeing the evolution of
Totally.
Oh, okay, he kind of needs, and then she even says, oh, it's like a wheelchair for him. Right, I'm like, okay, I buy all of these
things.
Yeah,
it's great.
When it's like stupid about why are these people prepared to fight a monster.
Yeah.
Why is this security team they've hired already just cool. A monster?
Yeah,
again?
It's a good thing these tranquilizer darts metabolize well with this creature that we've never seen before.
But let's talk about the what's the word I'm looking for bad guy?
Adversary?
No, I'm not adversary. There's like a filmy word for it.
Antagonist.
Let's talk about the antagonist of this movie.
Because
we get him very early. I guess maybe about when we should get him.
Blade Rob Lowe.
And he's, not Rob Lowe, but our hand of Sauron guy.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Punchy.
Yeah, punchy
blackie.
Punchy man and
he wears black. He's wearing black.
And
he's
not a black guy.
I guess that we get, but speaking of black guy, we got to talk about the black guy of this movie. But all of a sudden this guy just shows up, and I guess there's a logic, like, he's hired.
Yeah, they say he comes highly recommended or whatever. It's like, first by who, second, but I get, because it's like, I did appreciate the pace of things sometimes, because you can look past that where it's like, it goes both ways, right? Where you get too hung up on, you need to explain to me where these fucking people came from. Because there's another thing where, in old movies, sometimes you're just like, oh, yeah, sure, Indiana Jones and this guy are friends.
Yeah.
And we just buy it, right? They're just pals. We don't know why.
But that a moment like that works. Oh, Indiana Jones is friends with this guy we've never seen. Because the logic of what's about to happen works. For this, like this big whatever he's doing guy, again, is just accepting of the fact that there's monsters out there, and he's got a SWAT team to fight.
But I guess, you can't have it would get boring that every time a new character interacts with Creech, you go, what the hell, what is that? The idea to have this character who's just, he's a professional. He's just out
here,
and he's
mind.
Like, look,
it's
I've
fine.
Killed people and monsters, whatever. I'll fucking break its neck and get paid.
It just felt too weirdly vague or too weirdly generic or something.
I mean, he is literally just a big
guy. He's rich and whatever.
Who's really good at everything. He's tacked a strategic master somehow. Whatever.
My biggest beef with this film
mm-hmm.
is that the entire conflict could have been solved by them telling people about Creech.
Just sending the picture, putting the picture on Facebook, whole movie's over.
Which is weird. I didn't even think of that, that the movie leans into that. We can't get these pictures out. Even there's a scene towards the end when they get captured by Rob Lowe, who's like the big boss of the oil company that's after them. He's going through their phone and he sees the pictures and he just goes, delete, delete, delete.
And that's like his solution, right? That's
but
the bad
guy. But
they
don't ever lean into that.
No.
Like, at all.
There never is the reveal and then, oh my God, and then the town comes together and we have to protect these. Get the hell out of our town.
Yeah, well, exactly. Right. Exactly. There's no, like, it's shown multiple times that this town has, like, given its soul over to this Terramax company.
Yeah, right. They hate
which
him.
Is whatever. And including his dad, like, the main character's dad, who he thinks went away, but is actually just working at, like, an oil rig, like, 20 miles away.
Which should have been the real betrayal.
Absolutely. Which he gets over very quickly, even though the car is something that his dad left him that he treasures very much. Then he meets his dad, and he's like, hey, whatever.
Yeah, and then he destroys his dad's home.
Lucas, at one point in the movie, decides...
his name is Trip.
He's not
the name in the character.
Trip,
Just
Trip. Trip is trying. At this point, he doesn't have a plan for Creech. There's none of that yet. At this point, it's fun and games. There's a monster in my truck, right? They successfully, at this point in the screenplay, have gotten the monster into the truck.
In a believable way.
I would say that for the most part, the first 20 minutes of the movie works.
Successful.
It works until the monster's in the truck.
Even the way they justify the monster in the truck is remarkably, like, nuanced and thoughtful, where it's like, oh, yo, no, this is a creature and he lives underwater, so he has cilia on his paws. Cilia can activate and turn the gears, and I'm like, who the fuck sat down and thought
amazing.
Of this? And then we're
that's
like,
good.
Yeah,
we're,
no, no, let's
Kronk
just monster
and McNally,
trucks.
He did it. And we're, so...
Kronk and McNally.
Yeah, what's his name?
Derek Connolly.
Derek Connolly. I'm getting some of the, like, vowels right. Yeah. So they go to... Okay, so there's no bad guy. They don't know about the bad guys coming in or whatever. Yeah. They're not worried about it. So he's just like, I'm going to go to see my dad because that's what I'm going to do with my truck. That was the whole point. I want wheels. I'm going to go find my dad, talk to him. He's close. Right. And then the betrayal... That he doesn't get mad at the fact that, like, oh, I thought my dad was gone, and really he's like a 20-minute drive up the road.
You don't feel that at all.
That doesn't happen at all. What he gets mad about is that his dad says, you have a monster, you fucking psycho.
Yeah.
What are you doing, son? Yeah. You have a monster in your truck.
It's very weird. Well, then
that's what he gets, and then he's all upset, and then he destroys dad's home.
But let's even go to the reason why they go to the dad, right? Which is a fine beat to have, because I guess it kind of establishes
that. Let me just say ahead of time, the dad is played by Frank Whaley, who plays Scarf on
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, whom I am noted, actually recorded saying, I fucking hate this guy, and it kind of stays
in this
movie.
But there's no... Again, I'm going back to narrative logic again. There's no overall narrative to this movie, right? Think about this. He finds out that his dad is there and then immediately goes to get his dad. Why wasn't there something along the lines of Creech is dying above land? He needs to get below land. We need to find an excuse.
Yes.
Then they find about the cave and they're like, fuck, we got to get to this cave to save Creech. Because everything of the movie is happening as it's happening. They find the dad, and then they find out for some god, for like when they go to save Creech, they see the parents, and then there's this half-brained, like everything is happening not because something else has happened, but because it's happening.
Wait a second. You know what I just realized?
Yes, no.
Creech is short for creature.
Holy shit! No idea.
I just spit on my drink.
Thanks for blowing into the microphone, guys.
Well, that's mine. It's all right.
To edit around.
No, it's got what the pee filters are for. We're good. But So there's this whole this thing happens twice, which is that's another thing that's weird. Where the rule of threes is not always true, but often it is, right? Mm-hmm. So one time when he needs to fix the truck, he needs to fix it for Creech. Jane Donahue.
Goodall.
Jane Lynch.
Jane, what's her name?
Levy.
Jane Levy. Says, well, my dad has a perfectly functional, amazing workshop, and there's a horse in there, so be careful. But they go, and she's just like, but he won't even mind. He won't know if you use it, right? That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, later in a similar situation where we're like, this is where Derek Connolly got it.
Uh-huh.
Where Derek Connolly, I think, ran out of some like some workarounds.
But I don't know if like, we should blame this on him or some type of reshoot or some type of reshuffling.
That's
right.
That's true. Okay, Derek, sorry, Connelly, Derek.
If you're listening, I'm not blaming you. I understand how these things go.
Let's say instead of this movie, we'll refer to things as this movie and not
you made a bad choice by pulling up the Wikipedia because now we have all these names to blame people.
Absolutely, I agree.
Usually we're a little more general.
Well, let's blame the actors. All right, so we're going to blame bad people.
So, but anyway, then... What would you say? 25 minutes, half hour, 40 minutes later, maybe. Yeah. They are, again, at this, like, kind of...
They're on the run.
In between action scenes.
Yeah.
Scene. And they just pull up randomly. It's not talked about. They just kind of pull up to, like, an abandoned lake house. And she goes, yeah, this is my dad's place. He won't even notice if we use it.
Right. So now the seed's planted. Exactly. Like there's going to be something up with her dad. Right,
the dad is something.
Of course. That makes sense.
The dad is Creech.
Well, they're also, we're waiting for that drop. But they're also using the dad's credit card in the beginning. Right. They get gasoline and they run it up $400, which never comes back around.
Here's my reveal. And I'm like, oh, okay. So the CEO of the gas company is going to be your dad because she has all these nice things.
That would have been like the ultimate.
So then we're going to connect it and all the characters are connected. We're going to come full circle. And the CEO is going to learn a lesson. And everything is going to be great, and then none of that. It's just, no, my dad is rich and unseen. Right. It's like, great, cool.
You just reminded me, because I forgot by the end of the movie, that the, like, after the second time, you're like, all right, now this next time dad comes up, it's going
to
be...
It's just a convenient excuse to push the plot forward with no consequences, which was pretty much everything in the movie.
That's why it's... I don't know, man. And again, not to... You don't want to blame it all on the screenwriter, because it's never just
But you don't know how many...
But it's like, also... Why did so much? I appreciate it because these were the things that surprised me, and this is why. Again, generally speaking, even by the end of the movie when it started getting, you know, fucked, I was still on board and I was still having a marginal amount of fun watching. Right,
which is interesting. Like we kind of said in the beginning, that at no point during this movie was I off the ship.
Yeah, no.
I was like, huh? But I was still kind of having fun.
You're still watching. Yeah. You still want to know. I was still having fun.
Yeah,
it's like watching a friend who's like a fuck up. It's like, dude, I know exactly what is going on.
Yeah, right.
I know exactly what your issue is, but who cares?
You know what? I'll say this, I just will run right over this. Yeah. Is that's how I feel about Kevin Smith? Is I love watching Kevin Smith's movies because it's like, man, my buddy Kevin, like,
he's not that good at making movies,
but he's a good friend. Yeah, and that's why I watch Kevin Smith movies.
Right. So I guess what I was getting at was like, they spent so much brain power in figuring out how to get the monster in the truck.
They're like, there we go. Problem solved. Every other thing
was like, you had some pretty creative work around, like, ways to get the monster in the truck. Why couldn't you think of a creative way to, like, once they're on the run, get them out of trouble? Like, do you know what I mean?
But like I said, why wasn't there Creech's dying? We got to get him somewhere. Why was there
no... Maybe that's obvious or something. I don't know. But so much of it else is obvious. No,
The DVD release, it's actually 3 hours long. And there's exclusive content that wasn't in the...
They cut out when Superman tries to save the people before he flies away.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a good version of this movie.
Me neither.
Even if it's just a script, I'm sure there's a good movie version.
But that's the amazing thing about movies is that every movie there's a good version. Version of the movie inside of it, it's just like editing is magic.
Right.
It literally is magic.
And I always say, especially with a movie like this, that there's no reason for anything to be bad. You can't name a movie that I couldn't be like, any of us couldn't be like, but you could do this, that, and the other thing and be good.
But you also have like time frames, and you know, you're talking about. You want people to render CGI differently, and like, oh, so Creech has to do this, and like, you need to know what Creech is going to do. Months ahead of time and like let them know like what's happening.
Sure.
And that's fine, but this is I think the studio system is so bloated and so just like fat that this is the full brunt of that, right? So like a film like this.
I'll say that there's always that thing of like I feel this way just putting shit on YouTube, which doesn't matter at all.
No.
But like you have that thing where you and I have talked about this, Ryan, where it's like you make something and you have a million excuses. Tim, you must have the same thing where you put out the video, you've cut it away, or even these episodes, you cut it away, and you know all the excuses of like why the sound was fucked up or why we didn't make this point or why you didn't shoot that the right way. You know all that stuff, right? But still, when it comes out, fair is fair, baby. Like when that hits, it just is what it is, and people are going to absorb that the same way they finished something else that was finished perfectly.
That's true.
Because that's just the end of the game right there.
But
so it's like with this, you want to be like, yeah, well, let's not forgive it, right?
Yeah.
But you can also, it's the same thing with like, you know, the Spider-Man 3s of the world, where you can so see the meddling. You can see exactly what they tried to force in and what was not a decision of the core story of the thing. So you, like, want to forgive it, but it's tough. Where's that line?
But for $120 million, nothing should be bad.
But what's but that's even that, though. With $120 million, how many goddamn cooks are in the kitchen?
Well, yeah.
Right?
But so, like, also, for instance, there's three people on story credit in this movie alone, and none of them are the screenwriter. So that's immediately
even crazy. What? Yeah,
but, okay, there's an issue here. And how many uncredited screenwriters are there on this project?
Yeah, probably 15. Countless. Yeah. On set, can you imagine? Right. Like,
and so...
Like, oh, fuck, maybe Creech can't have dildos attached to him at all points in time.
And like, Connolly's like, no!
But, look, I let you guys do a lot of stuff to my work. This is... I can't let this
I draw the line here.
He needs to have him strapped.
He must fuck
Trip. It makes sense in the third act.
Okay, I was going to bring it up later.
Yeah.
This movie is so ripe for some Wattpad fan fiction where fucking Creech and in Monster Trucks 2, I swear to God, if Monster Trucks 2, the plot of that movie, because Creech has got, you know, what, 10 tentacles?
Every time Creech picks up Trip, I expected him to get impaled on that slippery dick.
I want Creech to have 10 people all up on his tentacles and he's
assholes and he's...
Dude, Monster Trucks 1, the monster's in the truck. Monster Trucks 2, the monster's in you.
Fucking puppeting
monster.
Oh, Christ.
It's already got the tag.
You know, they did a pretty good job with the family. So again, to reiterate for those who likely have not seen it, the other monsters in Monster Trucks, and I don't know, if you've seen a trailer, you'll know that there are other monsters and eventually they get in other trucks. However... Those monsters are his parents, and I don't think that was very clear in any of the trailers. I think they shouldn't have told us that was going to happen at all.
In the trailers, is there multiple trucks?
Absolutely, there are. The final trailer shot is like the final movie moment of the
truck. I'm going to show you the poster real quick. Can you tell me what that last letter is?
Trucks.
No, the last letter of trucks.
Yes, I get it.
Motherfucker, then it already, right, already know.
Okay, fine.
That there's gonna be multiple.
Fair. Okay, but like I said, they're selling toys here. This is a toy selling movie.
Are there toys? Because I'll buy one.
Way.
I'll buy a Creech.
It's the most impossible to produce toys. Like,
I'm not saying it's a good toy. I'm just saying they made this movie like anything else these days to sell toys. So we shouldn't blame it for being art. But we don't need to blame this movie for not being art.
No,
we can blame this
functional.
Being functional.
I guess it is.
But for what it's worth, there were still moments that were firing off plenty of my little baby neurons in my head, where when they're like flying down the mountain on the trucks and they're bouncing over rocks and riding up on the walls, I was
doing
like,
tricks.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's part of my head that's never going
away. Well, that's the moment when you look at it and you go like, oh, so this is based on like a property. That's really cool because, like, you know, they're doing their cool thing and this is what it's known for. It's not. It's just something totally original out of nowhere. And it's like, that's weird.
But that's, like,
I'm glad it's based on a toy line.
But let's bookmark that as saying that I would very much commend this movie for being original IP.
Absolutely.
You can't take that away. This is original IP.
Not based on shit.
The fact that it wasn't terrible makes me happy we gave it money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I really mean that. Okay, I genuinely mean that. We talked about it with, like, as much as we know Wonder Woman's not going to be good, we got to show up because they're only going to understand people buying tickets. And this is probably, you're right, it's probably going to bomb. So the lesson is going to be people don't see these big movies that are $120 million if they're not based on something, when really the lesson should be, let's figure out beyond getting the monster in the truck.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, but I don't think people aren't seeing this movie because
because
the second and third act aren't great. They're not seeing it because they look at the title and say, fuck, I'm not going to see that.
I guess that's true.
My son my son isn't like 7 to 13, so I'm not going to see this movie.
But the other thing is that a movie like this, I think the failure, you said it made $30 million. Who knows what it's going to do internationally?
Right, eventually. And then on
DVD. Netflix, whatever.
Netflix will buy it. It actually came out in France first. Believe it or not, like in descent, like significant, like a month early in France exclusively.
Why?
This is a monster.
They're picking apart the artistry.
So you are telling me the monster does not the fuck the boy?
Why does he drive on the left? I don't understand.
But a movie like this, I think the financial failure and probably the critical failure of a movie like this is the marketing. The marketing for this movie, I thought, was atrocious. It was not existent. And we're in LA, so we're a little bit spoiled because we see billboards.
But
there's so many billboards.
The billboards were awful. I think that if you market a movie like this in the right way, you know, think about movies that were well marketed. Deadpool could have bombed.
Yeah.
The three of us could have saw Deadpool and been like, man, this movie, I wish more people could have seen it. Marketing sells a movie, and I
Deadpool
think that
wouldn't have bombed at any point in time. I got to disagree with you on that. Deadpool is Marvel's hottest property right now, by far.
But you're saying that in a post-Deadpool world.
No, dude, pre-Deadpool. Like, the amount of merchandise sales that Marvel was doing on Deadpool, even before the movie, would blow your fucking cock and balls.
You're right. He was becoming the Wolverine. You were saying this, right?
Yes.
He was the new Wolverine.
Yes,
of,
he's
like,
in everything. Everybody loves everything.
He was showing up everywhere.
But he was also a comic. It was a niche thing that could have done well in a niche, but not outside.
Do you ever look at how many people actually read each issue of, like, Amazing Spider-Man?
It's like 20,000. It's like 20,000.
It's very low. Bonkers. Yes. But so it does well, and yes, there's a bunch of people, and we have the Forbidden Planets of the world.
But those are small. Like, a comic book that does 50,000 is an incredible comic
book. Comic books are weird right now, because it's almost just like, everybody has one friend that reads comic books, and you just check in with that friend. It's like, what's happening right now? Can you just, like, tell me the tale? It's like you're buying newspaper of this pretend
You're
world.
Asking about it like they're other, like they're friends of yours.
Yeah, what's,
have you seen Thor recently? What's he up to? What's he doing?
Is that a movie like this? I think that Paramount marketing is, and I may or may not be saying this from personal experience. Sorry if that gets me in trouble.
Who cares?
That I think that Paramount marketing isn't the greatest. And I think that, like,
I would agree with that.
That studio marketing at its best works like Deadpool, works like the best marketed movie of the last 20 years, The Force Awakens. A marketing like this was so bloated and was probably a million people. Like all the vice presidents were sending it down to their lower guys. No, I don't give a fuck.
I gotta call you on that. How the fuck was
The Force Awakens not the best?
That's a movie that sells itself 190%.
People were
going to
go, but what you're
saying is, people were
going to
go,
like,
is I think that the edge that a movie like The Force Awakens has is the marketing. The Force Awakens was one of the most brilliantly marketed movies of all time.
So if they get 90% of their possible audience, that marketing pushed the extra 10.
The Force Awakens had a guaranteed billion in it, but the extra 9 billion or 900 million is
the marketing. I can see that.
Because
that's smart.
But think about the marketing for The Force Awakens. It wasn't, aren't you excited to see Star Wars? The Force Awakens was marketing was summed up very simply, which was, remember how much you love Star Wars?
And
when you put that in every fucking person's mind, the three of us are going to see every Star Wars movie for all eternity. But when you get my mom to say, oh, I like Star Wars, she doesn't like Star Wars.
There's Logan. There's Logan for you. My girlfriend sent me a message. She's like, hey, I really want to see this superhero movie. And it's like, you guys did it good.
Yeah.
Good work.
Remember,
you won.
Yeah. And Logan's doing a very similar thing now. In the new trailer, they have the X-Men comic book in the new trailer. It's,
don't you remember?
Don't you remember Wolverine?
X-Men.
Don't you remember?
Well, I don't know. Is that what it's doing? Because I think more it's just like, it looks like an interesting movie. Like,
yeah, but it's interesting to us. You got to understand that.
It's letting us in.
There's a middle of the country that needs a reason to go to the movie theater. There's a, you know, and that's what The Force Awakens gave us. Mm-hmm. And now that's what Logan's giving us.
But you get the comic book nerds by having it be Logan, and you get the women by having it be like a daddy-daughter relationship.
Sure.
And every girl with daddy issues
is that's
right.
A huge
point. Okay.
That's a big point.
But if a niche,
it is.
But if a niche audience could drive a movie into financial and, you know, big time cultural success,
right,
why didn't Warcraft do well?
Mm,
you know what I'm saying? I saw Warcraft because I was into the world. I liked Warcraft.
The world.
Which one? Yeah.
But you can't drive it on a niche.
Sure.
And
well, I think also what you're saying, I would argue,
movie crushed
genuinely, I would argue that Deadpool,
I liked it. I would talk about it.
Deadpool had better marketing. Like, objectively speaking, it was marketed better than Force Awakens. But the thing is that Force Awakens is in a different, they're just in different boxes.
Yeah,
you gotta judge them by their
right,
own,
right.
Like, the way
Deadpool the Force Awakens is.
Guys, you might have pulled back to Monster Trucks.
Yeah, let's pull
no.
back.
No!
Because there's two bits that I do want
to
hit. First of all,
let's go back to
Don, Danny Glover collecting
the easiest check
of his entire life.
We can't not talk about it.
Like, I was talking to Don, like, the bit is that he showed up to set and was like, I'm gonna sit down the entire time. Like, Danny Glover. Donald Glover. Danny Glover sits in a wheelchair, and it's not explained, not referred to, he's just in a wheelchair.
Which I thought was
kind
of cool, right?
It was
kind of different,
sure.
yeah.
Sure,
he didn't lose his legs in a truck race.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
And he's not pining for his legs.
I had a monster truck and it took both of my legs off. But it betrayed me.
Yeah. You know what the funny thing about Danny Glover's career at this point is he shows up and 2 seconds away from each other, Tim leans into Dom and goes,
"Oh God,
I'm getting too old for this shit." I lean into Dom immediately afterwards and go, "I'm getting too old for this
shit."
What
I actually said was, "I'm getting too rolled for this shit," because he's in a wheelchair.
Did you say? Yes. I thought you just said old. No. That's pretty good.
But yeah, and he literally just shows up and sits down. And also, my big beef with this movie, to go back to the movie, is that it does set these little, this is going to pay off later. Mm. Like, little moments, and they're so inconsequential. Like, for instance, there's a school bully who has this girlfriend who's this pretty blonde, mm-hmm. and every time she looks at Trip, she, like, gives him a little smile and a wave, and it's like, all right, cool, that's going to come in later. And at the end of the movie, they're, like, stealing his truck, and she sees him outside the window and just kind of, like, waves, and he goes, waves. And it's like, okay, so he sets it up so that she likes him, so she doesn't make him at the end when the boyfriend steals the truck. But it doesn't matter because they're repoing the truck anyway.
Right, so she didn't
What could this kid have done to
the legal... But he lives in this beautiful house. Why isn't he... And when Trip takes the trucks, he goes, it's not my fault this rich kid isn't making his payments. Why isn't that kid...
But that's a bit. That's a bit. Where it's just like, you know, he's so rich. But it's that pseudo-rich, where it's just like people who get rich really quick and spend a shitload of money and then don't have any money left. That's a thing. That's North Dakota studio, in a nutshell.
That's the studio and Connolly running out of ways to get the monster in the truck.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? How do we get the kids?
They couldn't
just got
another truck.
They got to steal the
bullies. But again,
bullies.
That goes back down to what I said, is that nothing in this movie happens because something happens or because something's about to happen. It only happens because something happens. There's a complete lack of narrative logic.
I love monsters in trucks, man. Right. Primarily, if you like monsters... Well, I know Dom got hooked because it was Monster, right? I know.
Yeah.
Dom,
well, you know what's funny
monsters.
Is
I'm hooked because it's trucks. And,
really?
And
are you
Ryan,
more
Ryan
hooked
is here
because of the S? The S.
Right. I like plural titles for sure.
It's something for everyone in this.
It was
film.
Funny, Ryan. You were making me think about it. Like, I don't even remember what you said, but you. It occurred to me that the most logical version of this was not the Amblin knockoff. Sort of E.T.
Sure.
When you hear monster truck and you think it's the monsters inside the truck and they're rolling in the truck, like, you would almost think just like gratuitous PG-13 stupid kind of leaning hard into the
more monster.
This is pulpy. It's culty.
Sure.
It's just stupid. You know what I mean? And we know it's dumb.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't. That's what, I
like
think it was
Snakes on a Plane.
Right.
Where it's like the title is a joke in itself, so lean the fuck into it.
Right. Exactly. I don't know, man.
The movie doesn't own enough of what it is.
It doesn't.
On that same token, has way more heart than I expected
it
to.
Yes, it does. It really does.
I love Creech. I really, like, seriously, I haven't felt that connected to a CGI character since, like, I don't want to say Toy
Rocket
Story.
Raccoon.
That's a little bit too dramatic. But Rocket Raccoon, where it's just like, I'm on, like, this guy has a personality. Yeah. Like, Creech himself is so much fun.
But that's almost
despite
kind of,
Trip.
But that's almost what we kind of started on, is that this movie has a soul that is fun and almost undeniable.
Absolutely.
But in addition to that, and to bring it really back to where we started off, is this movie, while having this nice, good, juicy center, is just surrounded with a crust of bad directing and bad acting and bad writing that is like you can't. It's like an Oreo where there's like frosting. Mm-hmm. In between, like, poop, and you got it, like, and you're like, and you're
Just like an Oreo.
Yeah. but you're like, well, listen. Once I get to the frosting, it evens out the poop.
Right. A double stuffed.
Yeah.
A double stuffed Oreo.
You know what's horseshit? Those like 100-calorie packs that are Oreos, no cream. It's just the cookie.
It's like a Nabisco cookie. It's
but it's
like
got the cream built in.
Right.
It's like there's little like cream chunks.
That's horse shit. It's not the cream.
You're
okay.
In an Oreo.
So small final thoughts.
I'm saying that you're in an Oreo for the fucking cream, dude.
Right. That's true.
I'm not though. That's what's weird about me. I'm a cookie guy.
Well, how do you feel about like alt flavored Oreos?
I love them.
We're in the golden age of alt flavored Oreos, right?
Golden age of alt flavored everything. I saw chicken and biscuit flavored chips the other day. It's insanity that they made that happen.
You could get Zinfandel flavored, like, fucking saltines, you know? Like you could really go for it if you wanted to.
So we're getting Bernie Bot's flavored beans levels of, like, chips and
fucking shit. Fuck yeah, dude.
It's just like, this is a tire iron flavor. It's exactly like a car jack.
Yeah.
Okay, so give it an RT score. Give it a percentage out of 100. Starting with Ryan, please.
52. Yeah, I go for
55. I was about to give it a 55. Very similar.
Yeah, I'll give it a 55.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think, you know, like, a very specific age of kid is going to like this.
Yeah,
maybe the kid is a little bit too old for a G movie, but not even close to a PG-13 movie. No. And I think inherently PG movies have such a small scope of, like, of people that actually... Like, I always think of Spy Kids of, like, that's so weird.
Yeah, who's that really
like,
for?
Who is this for?
Yeah.
But yeah, so 3-headed critic.
Oh,
let's
God.
Start it up. Do you know this game?
No.
So our game is we each say a word, we go clockwise, and we don't stop until we've reached a coherent thought that summarizes the film, what we thought about the film.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, last week's, I think, was, like, it was good.
You know what I mean? That was it. But, right. We try to keep going until it's a... Right.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with Ryan. Give me one word.
Does it need to
it
be
could,
a good...
It could be the, dude.
Yeah,
you're the first.
Start in a sentence.
I'm just going to go for this.
Movie
was
a
movie,
but
it
definitely
could
have
been
better.
That's
movie,
like, generally how I feel.
Definitely could have been better, but it was definitely 100% a film.
It was a movie for sure.
I think that this is a great movie for if you have a son who's 10
who
years old.
Who doesn't love you and like, his stepdad has more money than you and you're trying to get him on board.
But this is a movie that if you're scrolling Netflix with your son, pop this movie on. You're going to have a good enough time.
Yeah, why not?
Right. This is a good...
You did not, like, specify an age range. Like, what if I have, like, an 80-year-old
son? I said 10 years old. I said 30-year-old son. If you have...
Dad, what are you doing? Yeah, you like Monster Trucks.
So, Dad, the movie finishes, and you go, so, Dad, can I have the money? Or...
I need to get an abortion for my girlfriend. The things are going terrible. I can't support a... We're gonna put on.
I got you this creech. This creech stuffed animal. So please don't leave me.
Son, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was good, but it could have been better. Also,
that's how I felt!
Dad, it's a girl. It's a girl.
I'm so lonely without your mother.
Is Creech a girl? Is Creech a girl or a boy? We'll end it with that. Creech girl or boy? Give me a boy.
The movie makes a very explicit point. When she's like, it's a he, the girl immediately goes, is it though?
Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think Creech...
Wait, but that's a fine joke.
I think all the creatures have penises and vaginas. They can double fuck each other.
Mm. Dumb. What do you
think? Wow.
What gender do you think Creech is?
Very political answer there, Ryan.
Yeah.
In what way?
It's 2017. Like, gender doesn't anything. Exist. Gender doesn't exist.
Okay. Yeah. Great. I think it's a boy because I think when we saw... what the mom and dad looked like.
Yeah.
He looked more like the boy, like the
dad. Yeah, I was
going to
say he's a boy because he's blue. Like, you wouldn't make a girl blue.
You're going to be hot.
Everyone knows that blue is a boy color.
The girl's pink. Have you guys ever been to a baby shower? Girl, pink. Duh.
Yeah,
all right,
this
thanks,
is biological. All right,
this
boys.
This has been Reasonable Beat. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed our chat about Monster Squad, Monster Trucks, please give to the Patreon, www.patreon.com/reasonablebeef.
Right.
Ryan, do you have anything to plug?
Just use the offer code beef. I don't know, man.
At fuckmyballs.com.
Follow me on Twitter. That's really the only place I care if people follow
me. What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter is ryblue, R-Y-B-L-E-W.
At ryblue.
B-L-E-W,
like as in Ryan Blue?
My name is Ryan Blewett. Which I've been getting shit for as long as I could be getting shit for.
Your name should be Ryan Blow It, because you're actively being bad.
Well, do you know the first person I remember making that joke to me was Mr. Capello, my kindergarten gym teacher.
Wait, fuck!
Yeah, because I'm close to the top of the list, right? So he's like, you know, blah, 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 Ryan Blew It. Huh, like you farted.
What? That's not the joke. It's that you sucked a dick.
Oh, no, but that's the worst thing about having my God-given last name is Blewett. B-L-E-W-E-T-T. It's not blue, you know, I-T-T. But the worst part about that is for years it's farts,
And then you hit sixth grade, and it's like, wait a second.
Now you suck a dick.
You suck a dick.
I'm so innocent, because you know what I think every time, like, Ryan blew it?
Ah, he screwed
it up. That's the first thing that I go to.
Which, like, I also got. I blew it.
Right.
But it always was a ha-ha thing, and it still is. And
right. Well, Farrah is Portuguese for homosexual. So I'm right there with you, man. Yeah.
So I used to get that all the time when I go to Portugal. He blew it.
All those times Dom spent in Portugal.
Yeah, dude. Monster all right, guys, trucks.
Thanks for fucking listening. Have a good night.
Bye.
I have to pee so.